Oh, that's right, it is. And it is July 2nd. It's the first of the month, so, gosh, we got one of my favorite congressmen on the air with us, Congressman Tim Scott from down the low country. How you doing today?
Good morning, Ann. It's always good to be back with you on your show.
Absolutely. So, you made it out of Washington, I guess.
I definitely made it out of Washington. I'm going to be thinking about June the 28th for the next several weeks and several months as we remember the devastation placed upon the American people with a 5-4 vote for Obamacare that creates more than $500 billion of new taxes on the middle class.
You know, absolutely. That was, now, I presume that, like a lot of others, you were blindsided by the fact that the Supreme Court went that total way.
Yes, no doubt about it. I did not expect the Supreme Court to rule the individual mandate constitutional, and I certainly did not expect it to happen because the government can tax you for whatever they want to tax you for. That is an amazing decision by the Supreme Court. It underlies the necessity that elections must have consequences, and if the American people want to be free of Obamacare, they're going to have to remove Obama.
I understand. Now, so one of the questions that was all over the news this weekend is that although most people do not like, shall we say, Obamacare, there are certain aspects of it they do like. How can we accommodate both sides here, Tim?
Well, I think we should make sure that we separate the issues, because what the news has done a very good job of is painting the positive aspects, so to speak, of Obamacare. The most positive thing we can do for Obamacare is to repeal it. Last year, 2011, we had a replacement mechanism as a part of the first vote series in Congress. And what we did was we addressed some of the challenges in the private sector about finding health insurance. Mm-hmm. We addressed some of those in our replacement mechanism to eliminate Obamacare. But the fact of the matter is we have been fighting for a private sector, patient-centered approach to providing health care in the private sector. Obamacare takes over a sixth of our economy, and it takes over the healthcare decisions for individuals, not empowering individuals. So you have to get rid of the philosophy and the legislation that underlies and strengthens that philosophy and go back to a system that provides healthcare coverage in the private sector and takes into consideration some of the challenges that people have faced receiving and buying health insurance. So we've done that.
So you're saying that it should totally be in the private sector. Should the government be involved at all?
Well, the government, I want to make sure I'm clear on that point too, Andrew. That's a fantastic question. The truth of the matter is, when you take into consideration Medicaid and Medicare, the question about the government's involvement in health care is already answered. We are involved, and you're right, based on the assumption that we are involved in healthcare. The question is, do we, the government, need to take over the rest of the health insurance premiums in order to make health insurance better? And my answer is, I would submit to you, no way. We don't make things better. The best thing we can do is to take a step away from the private sector and encourage and allow the private sector to engage their premium payers to find a way, much like Ronald Reagan did in the 1980s, he created an opportunity to go to the emergency room for anyone who needed care. So the fact of the matter is, if we give the private sector the opportunity to do it right, I believe they have the greatest incentive ever to get it done.
Now I understand on July 11th, y'all in Congress are going to have another vote about repealing Obamacare. But, you know, then it has to go to the Senate. What do you think? Is it just going to go deep six, or do you think there's any possibility that the Senate will take it up, Tim?
There's no doubt, Ann, that we will go in a positive decision on behalf of the American people. We will vote a repeal, and it will go through the Senate, and it will do what all other good legislation does in the U.S. Senate, which is absolutely nothing. So we will be faced with this as an election decision. On November the 6th, Americans will have a choice of bigger, broader, more powerful, centralized government, or the restoration of an individual responsibility and an opportunity to both succeed or fail. That is as clear of an example of what will be on the ballot this year on November the 6th, and I hope the American people feel like most South Carolinians, that the individual mandate, Obamacare, and the philosophy of a bigger government needs to be repealed, replaced, and then remove the people and the president who are responsible for spreading this big government philosophy throughout the nation.
So I guess you're talking about the three R's, right?
Repeal, replace.
And remove.
You got it.
Well, let me just ask you something. You know, I've been checking what's been happening with Tim Scott. Looks like, are you trying to find another job? Because I understand, let's see, you've been pumping gas, you've been waiting tables. What's next for you?
You know, probably bagging groceries is heading up the charts, actually. What I've tried to do, to be honest with you, Ann, is to go back and remind myself and my constituents that we are a partnership, that my constituents are my bosses, so I need to go where they are. I have had presidential town halls. I do economic town halls. I've consistently put myself out there and said, come see me. Now what I'm saying is, I'm coming to see you. So if you're at a restaurant, if you're at the gas station, I'll pump your gas, clean your windshield, and coming up and later on in the next several weeks, I'll be bagging groceries at a local grocery store, hopefully, and we'll continue to put me right where my bosses are, in addition to asking them to come to my meetings and conferences. I want to go to where they work, where they shop, and make sure that I hear their ideas, because my best ideas so far have come from folks who love this country, who work every day, and if I can just get in front of them, I can bring back some of the best ideas to Congress.
How were the tips working at the restaurant, Tim?
You know, I'm not sure that I'm that good at serving tables yet, because my tips were not as good as I thought they would be. But that's just my joke, by the way.
I set that one up, so you can blame me for that one. Yeah, but I just had to ask how the tips were when you were working the tables. Another question is, you know, it's amazing. Healthcare came down on Thursday. Monday, of course, it was immigration, and of course, also on Thursday was Eric Holder. But I would like to address the immigration issue. You know, it seems kind of strange that Arizona, that the Department of Immigration has decided that they're not going to answer their calls if they have any questions or if they have somebody that needs to be picked up or something. Since South Carolina's law is very similar, and if I remember correctly, I think we were part of the lawsuit there, does that mean that South Carolinians cannot call the immigration office and get an answer?
That is absolutely a fair conclusion. The one thing that we're seeing a lot of right now from the president is the destruction of the rule of law. It appears to me that he believes that the rule of law should not apply to anything that he believes he wants to get done, whether or not it's constitutional, whether or not it's legal. He's just going to say, we won't enforce laws that he does not like. And any time that you make the rule of law subjective, you actually erode the very foundation of the country and the Constitution. The rule of law is that which has created the greatest society in history. We have to protect it.
Well, you know, it's just amazing to me that they wouldn't take calls, and now we have a hotline to report inequities, which, I mean, I think that's good to have a hotline for inequities, but still, it's like they're being punished, which makes me worry about South Carolina and any other state that was trying to do the right thing since the government doesn't stand up for immigration.
I think you have a reason to be very concerned, frankly. There's no doubt. Not only is the hotline set up for folks to call in when they feel like injustice has been served, but it allows for a process to begin with criminal prosecution of police officers based not on facts, but based on perhaps fiction even.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. So, and what? Just a quick comment on Eric Holder. Where do you think this is going to go? I understand they've already blocked it as far as prosecution from the federal level. So, what do you think? Where is it going, Tim?
Well, unfortunately, it's going nowhere. It looks like to me, frankly, once again, this only strengthens my argument that the rule of law is under fire in this country today. That the subjective nature of this president actually puts us in a challenging position. And unfortunately for Brian Terry's family, resolution and peace, clarity, is not possible without the facts. And so the gun-running operation that it looks like cost the life of a Border Patrol agent will not find resolution because this president, once again, has decided to assert executive privilege over something he says he knows nothing about, which seems to be an oxymoron if there ever was one.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Ann.
Well, thank you. I know you want to wish everybody happy 236 years of our country, Tim.
Happy 4th of July to everyone, but specifically, I love Ann, and happy 4th of July.
Have a good one, Tim. Thanks so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.